Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
If you want to get a hold of Stuart Rosenthal, you can find him every day, all day, at the same place, at thebeaconnewspapers.com. You bring us the truth in what's going on for those 50 and over, and we're grateful to you. Tell us what you've got this week.
We're going to talk about a money story. People have probably heard about this repeatedly over the course of their lifetime, and that is, what do you do when there's unclaimed property in the state? I remember when I was in elementary school, we used to put money into a bank account. You know, I had no idea what happened to that bank account, right? Mm-hmm. But I was putting in a quarter or whatever it was, a nickel,
right,
every week or something. Well, I don't think I ever cashed in that account. I don't know what ever happened to it.
Okay.
It's probably available still in Texas. If I go on the website, I'll probably find I have $6 in an account or something.
Right.
Because at some point, that account went dormant, mm-hmm. and the bank was required to turn over the assets to the state.
Right.
And there's no statute of limitations for these assets. As long as they're there, the state has to give them up to you when you can prove that you are the rightful owner of those assets.
Okay.
It's a long list of things that could be there, not just your elementary school account, but savings and checking accounts, common stocks, uncashed dividends, refunds, payroll checks, trust distributions, even traveler's checks and uncashed money orders.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of money that people have paid in for something that have not gotten the benefit from may be turned over. $35 billion in that kind of money available in the states.
Wow. Around
$35 billion still sitting around there. So you claim your rightful share. Now, the article tells you how to do that. Every state has its a free access database, and you go by the owner of the name. And the recommendation is use different spellings because things could be entered wrong. There could be, you know, errors. And use your relatives' names, your parents, whatever, your kids, anything. And then as long as you have some kind of proof that you are the person you say you are and that you're related to them or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You can collect that money. And it can be, you know, decades later.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So, I collected a little bit of money that way. I got something in the mail. I guess it was like the Gazette newspaper, and I read through the pages mm-hmm. once a year.
Oh, yes.
And what it was uncollected or undeposited checks I'd received as reimbursement from my health care company, from CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Wow.
So they noted that this money was being held. I guess they can't just keep it.
Right.
It has to
go
somewhere.
Right.
I ended up with like $400 or $500 out of it.
That's nice.
You know, if you're getting these envelopes, if you've got, like, I got a large family, so
right.
I get these envelopes all the time because my kids
right.
go get a tooth fixed.
So you stop looking at all of them,
you
right?
know, and I gotten to look at the outside of the envelope to right. know whether it's got money or not,
mm.
right? It's got a little different look of the color. I can tell it's like maybe a check. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to keep that one. Well, I think I skipped some where the check was actually behind. And
sure,
so
sure.
it's just a lack of care on my part, and
right,
I've learned
right.
my lesson, and I
right.
open everything now.
Right.
But, good to know.
So, well, here's a warning, by the way.
Yeah.
There are scam artists, not really scam artists. There are companies out there that go through and find these kinds of things, and they track people down themselves. And they may send you a note and saying, we believe that you have money in this fund. We'll collect it for you for 10%. Send us X dollars and we'll give you the – you don't have to go through those companies. If there's money there, you can get it yourself with not too much effort on your part. So,
oh, okay.
You know, unless you're really lazy – don't go for one of those things. Just go and follow up yourself with the states that you have connections with.
Interesting. Okay.
And
good.
Savings bonds are a big thing where older adults. Sometimes you have savings bonds you've lost track of. You got them for the grandkids and never got cashed. Those are also things you can easily check on treasurydirect.gov. It's a special treasury website just for – they have a feature called Treasury Hunt for people to find uncashed savings bonds.
Treasury Hunt. Okay. Now, where do you go again?
It's treasurydirect.gov. Not GOV.
All right. TreasuryDirect.gov. You might have just uncovered thousands of dollars for our listeners.
I hope so.
All right.
I hope they'll also come to our expo in the coming weeks.
And tell us about that real quick.
October 18th is our 50-plus expo at Silver Spring Civic Center. And the following Sunday, October 25th, at Ballston Mall in Arlington. These are both from noon to 4. We have great speakers. We have Tammy Darvish, who mm-hmm. people may remember from Dark Horse, but she's now with PenFed Credit Union, and she's talking about midlife career change, which she's recently experienced.
Uh-huh.
And in Virginia, we have Gail Sheehy, the best-selling author of Passages and 17 other books. And she's got a new book out called Daring about how older women have changed the world, and she's collecting their stories for future books as well. So really good speakers. We have free health screenings of all sorts. We
mm-hmm.
have all kinds of exhibitors with useful information, entertainment, computer training, all kinds of good stuff.
To get more information, go to thebeaconnewspapers.com. I'll be there too both days, so come on by my table and say hi. I'll have some free guides and other stuff to give away.
Great.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
The earnest money deposit, that's the cash you offer to essentially call dibs on a house, is one of the most important and misunderstood parts of the home buying process. Depending on where you live, you can expect to put down anywhere from 1% of the purchase price to even 10% as earnest money. And in really highly competitive markets, buyers are making even larger deposits in an effort to stand out. An earnest money deposit tells a seller you are serious about closing. Without earnest money, you could theoretically make offers on multiple homes, okay, and essentially taking them off the market until you decide which one you like best, okay? So, in other words, if you don't have earnest money, you could just throw offers all around the place, but you need to show some earnestness. There needs to be some cash up front to show your willingness. Otherwise, it's not a bona fide offer to purchase. So don't worry, the seller isn't going to run off to Aruba with your cash, okay? It remains in an escrow account or with the title company until the sale closes. And if everything goes off without a hitch, hey, that earnest money is put towards your down payment and closing costs. So there's nothing to lose, right? Well, probably not. Except these three scenarios where your earnest money could end up financing the seller's trip to Aruba. Number one, you've waived all your contingencies. In highly competitive markets, it's becoming more common for buyers to waive contract contingencies regarding financing or an inspection. And you might be tempted to do the same if you're really after a particular property. It will make you more attractive as a buyer. But it also comes with serious risks. You guessed it, you might lose your earnest money deposit. See, the financing contingency guarantees you're going to get your money back if the financing is not approved. In the inspection contingency, you can declare the contract null and void because you find out that the house has got pink walls and you don't like it, if you so desire. If you waive all your contingencies, you're essentially making your contract hard right at the beginning, and that deposit will be forfeit if you don't show up to settle. But hey, you want the house, you're willing to take that risk, that's your choice. You may recall last year, for the first time in my career, a deposit was forfeit. Guess what? The buyer committed fraud. They represented their ability to purchase based on income and assets that were not real. They put up $25,000 on a $690,000 purchase in McLean. And you know what? We went right after that $25,000 and we got 100% of it and gave it to our seller. So the seller ended up putting the property back on the market and being made whole, actually coming out slightly ahead because of the deposit. But nobody wants to go through the pain and aggravation of all of that, right? Of course not. So when you're a buyer, you're making an offer, be sure you represent yourself correctly, of course. And that's not one of the three, but it could be number four. You ignored the timeline outlined in the contract. We recently had a deposit, a portion of a deposit forfeit on a property in Arlington. We put the property up for sale and the buyer failed to deliver notification that they no longer wanted to purchase the home within the right time frame. They got cold feet. They declared it 20 minutes wrong. Guess what? It cost them $10,000. So you got to be careful as a buyer. Now, as a seller's agent, I'm right there to protect my seller's interest and be sure my seller got made whole. And they did. Number three, you get cold feet. Buyer changes your mind. You're not paying attention in the process. You just decide, I don't want this. Just be prepared. If you do change your mind, you will lose it. But it's not limited to losing the deposit only. It could be that they sue you for specific performance and all of the tertiary costs that go with that, including their legal fees, right? So let's say that the seller moves themselves out of the house, or that they staged the house and they moved furniture in to show the property, but that goes under contract and they move it all out. Think of the additional costs that the seller bears in addition to whatever the deposit is as an inconvenience. You could be responsible for those as well. So be careful. There are three times, really maybe four, you can kiss your earnest money deposit goodbye. Read about that on our website. My thanks to Beth Braverman for her insight on those things. When you are getting your house appraised to sell, and I don't mean you personally, because you typically will not order an appraisal of your property and spend $400 or $500 to have an appraiser tell you how much it's worth. Because, frankly, unless the house is unusual in a variety of different prospects. I got a call from a seller in Silver Spring. She's on 5 acres. It's got three houses on the property. It's got a private pool. You know, it might not be a bad idea for her to spend the $1,000, $1,500 to have the property appraised by an appraiser to come up with a sense of where the market value is. She was on the market for quite a long time and has reduced the property dramatically and is finally reaching out to me. And I'm telling her the truth, but it's a bit of a shock to her system because it's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars less than what she's asking now. So perhaps you want to get an appraisal. Maybe you don't want to get an appraisal. Most of the time, I don't recommend it. I think it's a waste of money. A good realtor will be able to accurately come up with proper value. All right. After we get back, we'll discuss how you need to be aware of what appraisers want you to know. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.